Welcome to the NCSoft podcast. NCSoft is the world's premier publisher of MMO games. City of Heroes is rated T for teen by the ESRB. This podcast is copyright 2009 NC Interactive Incorporated. The City of Heroes podcast is the panel To Be Continued, the evolving City of Heroes storyline from HeroCon 2009.
Thank you for coming to this panel. It's To Be Continued, the evolving City of Heroes storyline panel. We're going to talk about...
Thank you for reading all of our text.
We're going to talk about not necessarily new content, but some of the inspirations and kind of what goes into how we've evolved the City of Heroes storyline and some of our past issues. We could kind of lead into like maybe the new stuff or stuff maybe for the future, but really our concentration is the stuff on the past. So my name is Jesse Castris. You may know me as Ghost Falcon on the forums. I'm one of many producers at Paragon Studios. I've been with the project since 2004. So I've been there for a long time, but I have not been very visible because I generally like to play a backseat to the developers, right? The people who are actually the designers. And just, you know, really promote like how those guys can execute. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our panel, Bruce Harlick, if you could start off.
As Jesse said, I'm Bruce Harlick, otherwise known as Horatio. I'm a lead designer at Paragon Studios. I've been with the company since last July of 2008. Sorry, last July would be July of this year. I've been with City of Heroes since issue 13 and onward.
Man, it seems like I was just commenting, it seems like Bruce has been with us a lot longer.
It's because I'm old.
That, you know what? That never gets old. Oh, wait. I am Joe Morrissey, also known as Hero One. I don't post very often on the boards. I apologize.
He's working.
Yes, working a lot. Usually working with Warwitch here. I've been with the team for coming on 3 years now, and I came on for issue 10. So, not quite 3 years, but I'm counting the months. I'm gonna have a big party. I came on at issue 10 as a mission designer, and since I've come on board, the team's tripled in size, and now we have a number of other mission designers on the project. One of which is on this panel and will finally get to be shown to the public. And that'll be good. But yeah, thanks for coming.
I'm Melissa Bianco. I am Warwitch. And I got all these guys beat. I have been on the team since February of 2002. So I'm, 7.5 years? Yeah, so I lead the world team. And my job is to basically take the ideas and the stories that that Joe comes up with and just build a world around them.
I'm John Hegner, and I've been on since, August of last year. You may know the Mercedes Sheldon arcs. Those were mine. Those were the first things I put in for I-13, squeaking in at the last minute.
Yeah, that was actually really, real quick, that was, kind of to get into it. So when John first came on board, we were trying to wrap up a bunch of other stuff, but we had to get him trained up to learn how to do mission content. And so I said, okay, we're going to have you do one story arc and no art assets because we have no time to get anything new. We want more content in the Midnighter Club because we didn't really, in my opinion, have enough, and I still don't think we have enough in there. But it was like, so we're going to have come up with a character, work up the contact, read through the content, and come up with an arc. And I think I was on paternity leave.
No, you were on your way to PAX.
Was it PAX?
Yeah.
Okay. To talk about Architect. And I come back, and he's like, okay, so I have 3 story arcs. And
this is common for me.
Yeah. And Bruce was already on board, and he's like, yeah, I think this is really good. I'm like, what the hell happened when I went away? Like,
Shift awesome.
Yeah. It's like one story arc, 3 missions. He's like, I have 3 story arcs, 9 missions. So
it's 10.
So yeah, so that, but that was actually, it was a great, in my opinion, I mean, John can speak to it too. I think it was a great exercise in trying to tell what I think ended up being a very awesome trilogy of arcs that was done with very little art support, to just kind of show that the story isn't just about like a new area. It's about the characters and the overlying theme of where you're trying to go with it.
Cool. Okay, so let me just start off with, I guess, the first question. What's your process to develop new ideas for upcoming issues?
There's an address that we mail out for new ideas. No, actually, we have a list in Excel, and I remember seeing this when I first came on at Cryptic, yeah. And it has like all of the things that we want to do, and it could be anything from a feature like Flashback was on that list, mm-hmm. to some storyline with Reichsman, right? And so there's story stuff, there's system stuff, there's all kinds of, you know, we want base things, we want this, and we sit down in a room and we figure out what it is that at this very moment we think is the most important thing to bring to the team. So we do plan ahead kind of where we're going, especially story-wise, like the path that we want to take all of you on. But we know that if we planned out what issue 25 was going to be right now, by the time we got there, that might not be the best thing to give to you guys. So we can, because the team size is where it's at, we can be very fluid in what we're doing and what we're going to come up with you guys. And you know, like a great example is we're coming up on 5 years. What are we going to do with 5? What's the number 5 that we could focus on? Let's see, 5.
That was also preceded by an, oh crap, we're coming up on 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of it does, you know, it's very quote unquote organic in that nature, but we do have a lot of things, and a lot of it is driven by you guys on what it is that you want to see that we read on the boards or through playtesting and everything, and then that builds into an idea where you get these, you know, few core people in the room, and they figure out like, okay, we're going to do Flashback, and we don't just want to do like a computer in a room somewhere that you can just launch your missions, and that's where, you know, Matt will tap me or somebody else to come up with, okay, make this a story, like make this feel like it's a part of our world and tie it into it.
I think that's a very important thing, is that all of these systems that have been added to help tell better stories have been integrated into the game fiction, into the game world, to really anchor them. So rather than with the Flashback of being a computer or the Going Rogue system that we're working on, we'd just be walking up to a guy and saying, hey, make me a villain. Instead, there are story reasons why all this stuff exists. Even Mission Architect, yeah. It's grounded in the lore. Once we decide kind of what we want to do and have some consensus, the next step kind of goes through what kind of resources do we have available to be able to tell these stories, to bring this stuff into the game, and do we have enough available to adequately do what we want to do? All game development is a constant process of give and take. You come up with these great ideas and get told, no, we can't really do that because of A, B, and C. And A, B, and C are all valid reasons that you agree with, but you figure out how to make your idea work with only C or only, you know, D. Or you shelve it, and it's like, okay, that's something we want to do. We'll come back to that when we get the resources. Or we'll get that started. Powers customization was, just on a side note, a great example of that. This is something that's going to take a long time to do. We're going to get that started under the radar, and we're going to work on other issues while that process is going on. And when it's done, it will be done, and we'll make an issue out of it.
We also have a really valuable resource, which is like this thick, binded thing that Joe handed to me on my first day, called the City of Heroes Story Bible. Wow, you guys would have fun with that. So every so often we'll pick that up and we'll be like, hey, did you know? And then an entire issue might spawn out of that.
I think a good example of that is the Midnight Hour issue with the Midnighter Club. I'd wrapped up with issue 10, which I was more the guy brought in to close that issue. Constellation beforehand had done a lot of the initial mission development on that before he moved on to the other project that we're not allowed to talk about. Before we left, where we're not supposed to talk about. And so it was like, that was kind of me getting my feet wet. And then we did issue 11, which I really got to sink my teeth into the storytelling for that. And then, but we knew it was around a system. It was Flashback. And so we kind of was still contained. And then when we was like, okay, so what do you want to do for issue 12? And it was like, hey, I was reading the story Bible, and there's this group called the Midnight, you know, Club, and or the Midnight Squad. It's like, these guys seem really cool. Like, there's a lot of stuff. And then also been listening to you guys saying, like, where's the magic stories? We haven't gotten any magic stuff in a while. It's all tech. It's all sci-fi. It's all this. And I'm like, you know, this is a great opportunity to kind of focus in on these things and really coming up with the Midnighter Club, and Melissa and I had some great time with with those clues.
Hey, so, I was just going to do like little clickies like I did for the invention tutorial all over the university. And then Joe and I kind of sat down and we started talking about it. We're like, well, why don't we get a, people are always asking for badges for stuff like this. So we just started to work together and it just ballooned after that.
That was like, it was actually, it's weird because normally for me, you know, we tell story through, through voice. I mean, not through sound, but through like a player is actually speaking with you. I mean, sometimes we will, you know, drop clues that'll have more kind of exposition, but that's generally the framework that a lot of our stories get told in, and so I don't really have a lot of, I usually don't have a lot of point of entry into just straight exposition, which is what a lot of Warwitch's stuff that she'll do with the plaques that you'll find around the place. And so she kind of was like, hey, do you want to help me out with this? And I was like, oh, this would be cool.
No, what you said was, I don't have any time. And then you took an entire weekend and started writing.
And it really was. It felt like even of all of the other arcs that we have, all of the content that we do have for the Midnight Club, which I think is some good stuff, those 13, was it 13?
It was 13.
At the end of the day, that really get into, like, I started to really flesh out, like, the history of this organization, and it really felt like it was starting to come more alive. And in the process, there was a lot of seeds there for John to actually come in when he was hired on to kind of look at that and go, oh, I can do an arc about this person who's listed as one of the lost members of the Midnight Club or whatever. And it was just, so that was actually a lot of fun for that.
So John had referenced the COH Bible. How much would you say has been scraped in terms of what's out there?
Well, it's about 500 pages. It's a big tome. Surprisingly, being in game development for a while now, I've become very familiar with writers who will write endless amounts of data, of content or words that have no way to actually find their place into the game. And I'm surprised that every page when I turn, like, it's like, oh yeah, that plot line actually did end up at the end of it, because a lot of the way it's structured is it'll be a large amount of exposition, probably much more so than is actually needed. But and then at the end, it's like, here's the list of possible story arcs that reflect this, and that really helps us carry it out.
But writing content for an MMO, for really any game, it's an iceberg. You see maybe, seven-eighths of the iceberg is underwater, and that's kind of the same way with the backstory that we come up with. You'll likely never see a lot of that stuff, and you probably don't want to see a lot of that stuff, but it informs us as to how the story needs to get shaped and how these things exist in our world, and helps us keep consistent.
Yeah, there's a writing technique that I like to use, which is every time I introduce some new piece of lore, I also introduce two or three things that I give no explanation for, and those become hooks that we can later attach story to later on. It served me really well in all the jobs that I've had before this one, and it serves me well here.
So I guess the question is, are we going to see more from Tazebro?
Yes. Tazebro is coming back with a vengeance one day. With his shiny new legs.
So in addition to the City of Heroes Bible, what other external references do you look to for inspiration or reference when developing these new ideas and content?
I'm going to let you take this one.
Well, you know, it's funny because in the past we've done a lot of kind of pop culture references from movies, any comic books that we like. I mean, you've read my NPC dialogue, so I mean, you've seen my Easter eggs, you know where it comes from. But one of the things that I like, and it's a direction that we've been kind of moving towards, is more kind of an original, more, I don't want to say serious, but I mean like true to the game lore and just kind of expanding on that rather than just making a constant cute little reference to something else. And that is something that we've kind of definitely moved forward with, especially for Praetoria and previous issues. But yeah, I mean, quite honestly, inspiration comes from everywhere. You name it. If I saw a commercial that I thought was cute, it's probably somewhere in the game. I don't know. So, Hallmark, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'll for a lot of the stuff for Praetoria specifically, I mentioned at a previous panel that we wanted to really separate this new area from COH and COV. We wanted it to have a different feel, which initially was actually kind of difficult to do because the first kind of ideas we had with it was very just a different flavor of the Rogue Isles. It wasn't really that that different. And where we started to draw from on that was more of like, you know, I would go back and read some of my old, you know, high school texts, you know, Brave New World, 1984, Fahrenheit 451, right? Like a lot of these
red flag literature.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we have a
Judge Dredd
panel down the road that's utopia at a cost. And that's really what we want to focus on. It's been great working with these guys because we want this to feel as true as possible. One of the previous people we worked with before had this great line that about doing camp within a game, like doing very campy content. And he said it's humor at the genre's expense. And that's generally, and I totally believe that. And for me, like the type of books, I mean, I'm a huge comic fan and I like spandex. I love spandex, but like my tastes have matured as I have matured. And there's books out there like Why the Last Man or Walking Dead or even the new Conan stuff that Kurt Busiek did, like that you read those and you're like, or Goon. Goon's another great example. And it's like, wow, like we should really be bringing this level of maturity. And not when I say maturity, I don't mean like adult graphic violent content, just the themes and the ideas that you're talking about have to have
just some, a depth some to it. To them. Yeah.
For the fourth wall, and storytelling exists for a reason. And every time you break it, you pull the player, the reader, the viewer, whoever, whatever your medium is, out of the story, out of their immersion. And we don't want to break the immersion. We don't want to disrespect our IP. I mean, we're as invested in it as you guys are, I would imagine. It's something that we really love, and we really want to make it feel give it that resonance, give it that reality to everyone.
That's not to say that I'm not going to put Easter eggs in the game.
Gotta have Easter eggs.
We are human. Yes.
Touching on Pretoria a little bit, I mean, you know, the things we drew from 1984, Asimov, in some ways, some really heavy stuff. I'm writing a lot of the stuff for Pretoria, and what I really wanted the players to do was not just go, oh, it's a new newbie area or whatever, but to really look at it as a total and complete new world, and to really come out of there going, wow, I don't know which side of the conflict I want to be on, because you can really see both sides of what's going on. I can't really go into what's going on in there, but it's some heavy stuff, and it gets heavier the further you get into it. And by the time you are done with that, you're going to have some moral questions for yourself, not just your character.
Yeah. Okay, so you've come up with the ideas, you've written the missions. How do the mission designers work with the world team in executing?
Oh, this is always fun. Well, I mean, especially when we're coming up with something completely new, for Pretoria in particular, Joe and I kind of went off into a boardroom and he grabbed the smallest write-on wipe-off pen that he could find, and I'm not kidding, his words were this big on the whiteboard. And I think we spent probably like 2 days in there just sort of hammering stuff out, and it would just be like category by category by category, and it just turns into this, I even think we took a, didn't we take an iPhone pic of it?
Yeah.
Anyway, and it's just kind of back and forth. It's like, is this going to work? Is that going to work? And then after I get a really good sense of what the story is, what the vibe is, then I can start thinking about the world, and I can start thinking about how the world is going to progress, and what is Cole thinking about in when he lives in this world? What are you going to see? And then it's just like, quite honestly, just a lot of back and forth, because things, ideas evolve and change, and he gets an inspiration, and hey, let's go in this direction. And it's just kind of like this organic process that just keeps going and going and going. Anything you want to add?
John, do you want to talk about working with Chris or anything like that?
Yeah, so one of the things that we decided in Pretoria to do is, rather than always send you to just some random door, we decided that we wanted more emphasis on the neighborhoods and then the actual buildings in those neighborhoods. And so we started to write up, like, this specific building is this. And, oh, it happens to have missions that involve X or Y groups, so those groups are going to be hanging out around it. And the city started to come alive, and it started matching up very closely with what was going on with the missions. And there was a lot of handshaking going on there. And it's been just a blast working with Melissa, who sits right behind me and throws things at me and tells me to shut up all the time.
Shut up!
and then I do, because she's been there longer than I have.
Yeah, we really, I mean, I've mentioned this many, many times before. I mean, since Striga, we pretty much any time we create a new zone, we definitely don't want to do the, okay, I'm level two and I'm being sent to Argosy. I'm dying because the clockwork got me. Yeah. So obviously, that is a huge, huge, huge importance for us. And so we're just taking that a little bit of a step further in terms of, I'm running to this so-and-so building, and it's like, really? Because it just looks like a skyscraper to me. And so we're progressing, put it that way.
So I have one last question for the panel, but before I ask it, after they're finished, we have a microphone right in the center. If you have any questions, please wait until they've answered the question and then line up and just be ready to ask for our Q&A session. So last question, City of Heroes and City of Villains have are very rich in stories and lore. Do you have any favorite stories or arcs that you feel are incomplete that you would like to finish one day?
When I we actually have this great page on our internal design wiki that's story threads that need progressing / finishing, and so there's a lot of good ideas on there and stuff that we fully intend on hitting on in the future. For me, the first thing I did when I started was the Sister Aaliyah and Daedalus arcs in Semerora. That was a great experience because I sat down with Vince Dark Watcher.
Yeah,
Dark Watcher. Sorry, I was spacing on that for a second. Because the arc involved Ghost Widow, and he's a big expert on that lore, and so we batted a bunch of ideas back and forth, and really came up with this great storyline, which is really a 3 or 4 part. Arc on that. I was only able to get the first two arcs done. I really want to explore how the Sister Aaliyah thing actually links back into Ghost Widow's story and move that along a bit. And I fully intend to one of these issues.
That was actually kind of a little behind the curtain on that. Jay decided to make a Sybil as Ghost Widow. He was not asked to. He just he thought it would be cool.
He thought she was hot.
Oh, Jay.
And so we we do these walk-arounds, the design department does walk-arounds with the art department to kind of see what's going on and make sure that Jay isn't doing stuff he's not supposed to be. And as
which
it turned out,
is.
Yeah,
he
we're
is.
Like, what are you, wait, we didn't have Ghost, what?
We can work with this.
And he's like, yeah, look, it's all made. And we're like, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, wait, what if the background with the Red Widow and all of, oh, wait, oh, there's a whole story there. Like, and all of a sudden it was like, ding. And so that was, it was actually kind of funny. And that's, you talk about where we got our inspiration from.
A very dark place.
Don't tell Jay. Yeah. It's like, don't tell Jay his hat is already two sizes too small. Too big. Yeah, too big. So, so for me, like, some of the storylines I would like to see more of, I'd obviously like to see a lot more Hero 1 content put into the game. There's a lot of background with the character that since he was kind of a really not very fleshed out character to begin with, and in the process of kind of taking over his red name or taking on his red name, and then knowing my position as a story guy here, I should probably figure out what his origin is and where he got his powers and all of that. And I've been kind of working that out, and even pitched to Dave and Nakayama at one point to see if he would do a 20-issue series just on my character. but he had other plans going on, apparently. I don't know. But no, I'd like to see more Hero 1 content, but besides for more content about me, there's a whole plot line in Ouroboros that with the coming storm and with the person who writes those letters to you that we are I think we're close to where we can actually pull off some of the crazy ideas I wanted to do with that to begin with. So that's the big one for me.
Hold on. So my inspiration to go back a little bit for Mercedes Sheldon's arcs was, make a story arc with 3 missions. So I said, okay, well, there's this old TV show I watched back in the day called Friday the 13th. I don't know if anybody remembers that.
Yeah, you can watch Warehouse 13 now. It's pretty much
yeah,
the same
basically
thing.
The same thing. Anyway, so it involves, this magical artifact dealer who all of his artifacts get stolen out of his vault, and they all are, basically tools of the devil that do all sorts of bad stuff. hence the Devil's Toolbox.
Great, now I don't have to see it.
Yeah, so I really want to explore, basically, now that Mercedes Sheldon has those artifacts back and she's part of the Midnighter Club, what exactly are they going to do with those?
Because they're made up of both heroes and villains.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'll have to rewrite it.
So Joe didn't want to have, you know, he didn't want to have his wish list be all about him, but really my wish list really is all about me. I actually, I'm waiting for the War Witch story arc. I'm waiting for the War Witch task force. It hasn't happened yet. And I would love to explore how she went from ghost to standing there drinking chai tea lattes in Pocket D. So, you know, get on it. I'll help.
The Devil's Timepiece could be used for that.
And you know, from the old school Blue King comics, there's a number of times where she's in this other place.
Yes.
As well, that I'd be kind of curious to learn. Like, I definitely, because her and I have talked about it, and just that background of who are these other seers with her, right, that can do this, and what's the history of that, and how is it tied into the fact that somehow she has every power set in the world.
One of the cool things actually about Pretoria is, since everything's kind of an analog, not necessarily the exact opposite or anything, is that we can kind of tell parts of the stories in the analog and give you hints like, eh, maybe it's sort of like that on Primal Earth, but, you know, we have some fun with that.
Yeah,
way to say something without really saying anything.
So when does Ghost Falcon get his arc?
After I do.
Yeah.
7 years, my friend. Like 7 years.
Well, no, I need to bring Horatio.
Oh, that's
actually,
true. Horatio.
Oh, yeah. And, into his own task force.
I hear a mega arc.
Then I have to stay
My brain
Duncan.
Is already working overtime on this. Get back with me in about 30 minutes and I'll have something.
And then as we're adding more developers, Dr. Ion and so forth, I'm just going to get pushed farther and farther back.
Yes.
Because production never gets any love.
So. Let's give Jesse some love. Come on.
Thank you. Okay, so now I'd like to open up the mic for any questions that you may have. So.
Ooh.
Uh-oh, there's a lot
Uh-oh.
Of them getting up.
Oh, boy. Yikes.
See you, Joe.
No.
Why didn't you...
If you could start off with just your name and server.
Hi, I'm Liquid from Virtue.
I played apples with him last night.
Yeah. Yeah, she did very well.
I graded your trivia test, by the way. I'm not going to tell you what you got.
So, yeah, I didn't do so well at the end. This is slightly tangential, but something that came up repeatedly over this talk. You talked about the story Bible. You talked about how you took over the Hero One name, and then the Blue King comics were mentioned. And so I was wondering if you had considered asking Rick Dakin to be a guest author, or is there like no love lost there?
You know, I'll admit, like, that was way before my time. So I have no, if there is quote unquote an issue or any problem with that, I don't have any problem with that. I think now that we are separate from Cryptic, it's all the other possible. He would actually be I think a great choice to bring on. I don't know if you guys read Geek Mafia, but it's one of his books. I think he has a sequel out.
I bought it. I haven't read it yet.
Okay. Yeah.
There was an editing error on the front page. It kind of bugged me.
Oh,
so I haven't
that.
Gotten to it.
If,
I have several
if you
other
wanna, like, I wasn't around when whatever happened with Rick, but if you want to read that book and believe that that's what happened, it probably makes the whole story 10 times more interesting. He gets into a life of crime. Like, it's crazy. I think Rick would probably be a great choice. To talk to. We're definitely talking, the guest author stuff, talking to a bunch of people and the guys we have down the pipe. And we announced two of them already, fan favorites, of course. But we got some other really good names coming up, too.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Cassandra from Virtue Server. You ever going to go back and explain in more detail how Azuria keeps losing these mystic artifacts?
Butterfingers. Today, this afternoon. Play the live event today.
Oh, okay.
Raythan from Virtue. Hi.
Hi.
First question, Shadow Shard, is it going to be ever revisited and or reworked in any way? And second issue is with the whole fifth column council task force thing seems a little muddled right now because you have one side that apparently is Reichsman, one side that's apparently Requiem and the old fifth column dudes, and then you have sort of the council with the center and arc, and it's kind of like who's running what and where, how, and huh?
So with regards to the fifth column and Reichsman and the council, they're going through a bit of reorganization at this point, and the different stakeholders are trying to work out their differences. And I'm sure as they do, you're going to see more of that actually creep out in mission content as that whole thing sorts out, and as well as I think in some of the world content. I certainly have ideas for how to finish off the council and bring the fifth column back into the rightful, reconcile that. And as for the Shadow Shard, that's something that comes up a lot in our discussions. So
it does.
I would look for something in the future.
Yeah, to touch on that real quick, the second task I had was actually going through and reevaluating sort of the Shadow Shard stuff. I feel your pain.
Yeah.
So actually, this has come up a bunch. So I have a couple questions for you guys. So people have asked me to, or asked us, to make the Shard a co-op zone. What are you guys' thoughts for that? All right. So, and then the other one was to make an entire different copy of it, but just for villains.
All right, wow. All right. Okay.
Now, if we did do the co-op zone, it would be similar to the Sister Aaliyah stuff where there is villain-only and hero-only content. So in this case, the heroes would still have to play the same really bad arcs, but the villains would get brand new good stuff.
Who says you don't love the villains?
A co-op task force, we've kind of been hit or miss on honestly, within the community, because there's, for some reason, people get the opinion that we don't like Red Side. Even though if you look all the way back to issue 10, we've given as much, if not more, content to the Red Side. And so a co-op task force, they feel like, is kind of like the sloppy seconds to to everything else.
That being said,
to be politically correct.
We do have some co-op stuff in the works farther on down the line.
One of the things I want to see with the co-op task force, just get on my high horse, is like we always ask the villains to do the greater good, to act to the greater good. I want to see the heroes have to act to the
greater
evil for to save the world.
Yeah.
I think
super
would,
bad.
To really throw them the other direction.
Chuck Salerno, Victory. If you graded my trivia, you'll know that my knowledge is basically poor, even though I've been playing for 5 years. If I'm correct, the time capsule should be opening soon.
Yes, November 26th, 27th?
27th.
Now, A, are you going to handle it, which I'm sure you will, and B, what thought process go through your head when you have to say, now we have to change some major lore that people who have not played before this date might not have? And they have to, you know, how do we keep them in? Like you had a task force that was in for one issue and then gone. You know, what are your thoughts on stuff like that?
We definitely like to keep a world where a person who buys the game tomorrow doesn't feel like they're behind on what's going on. But we also have to create a world where people who have been playing for 5 years don't feel like they're playing the same stuff, right? So that is the paradox of which we live in. Thankfully, because of we can track what you guys have done and haven't done, we can kind of simulate the progression in that respect. We are going to handle the time capsule. We actually have some kind of more, it'll probably more be story-centric in that respect. There's a lot of great history with what happened back then, right before all of these 50 people went off into the portals.
Because, I mean, once you open the time capsule, we no longer have a time capsule to save to get our capes.
Technically, maybe not, but you don't really sure how that's...
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll lose the time capsule, too.
Hi, Dumb Bunny, Virtue Server. You were talking about kind of focusing in the new Praetorian world that you're going to have certain buildings are going to be for certain groups. They'll be hanging around that. Is there any thought of possibly retconning the rest of Paragon, the Primal Earth, to kind of add that focus to the zones that exist already?
I mean, I would love to. I mean, I would love to go through all of our zones and do stuff like that. Right now, I mean, our focus is obviously...
Well, yeah, it would be definitely be a long-term.
But it's something that I would definitely love to explore. I mean, quite honestly, yeah. I don't know whether or not we'll have the time to go back and do it, but if we do, I'd be totally up for that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Just a note about retconning. Every time that we spend time retconning...
We're not making new content.
Yeah, we are not making new content. So it's a very difficult balance there. We would get
having done the Hollows and the Rick D. Warzone and Faultline, I mean, it's like after a while, you're like, okay, when are you going to give us some new stuff? I mean, it's great that you did that, but, you know.
It doesn't count as new content to most players.
Yeah. Even though I work very hard.
Yeah, it takes the same amount of time.
Takes me the same amount of time, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Did you get the Easter egg?
All right, next question.
Obvious drag queen on the obvious drag queen server. The
okay.
Really? Not so obvious.
She can't
maybe
pass.
For the costume contest?
Okay. The mission architect, even though the stories are not canonical, a lot of them are absolutely stunning reimaginings of what you people have done. How do you feel about that, and how open are you to taking some of the best of those reworkings and making them canon?
It's actually funny. This has come up a couple of times. First of all, I love the fact that there are people telling stories out there that are arguably stronger than anything I've ever put in this game. Like, I have no ego about that, whatever. I think that is, that I love playing that stuff. I've played some content that it's like, here's a villain side magic centric level 1 to 5 arc that is, I've just gotten into the Rogue Isles and I have a magic background that ties into the Mood Blood Path and all of this stuff. And it's like, wow, this is brilliant stuff. And again, it's, you know, content we don't have time to make ourselves because we're trying to work on other stuff. So I think that's great. As far as bringing it into the actual world, we've talked about doing it. There's times where it's like we look at doing it. It's actually incredibly difficult to read because we have to recreate that arc from scratch. There isn't just like a move it over into the other side. So I'd have to sit down in our tools, which are different than our architect, and recreate. And even like with the villain groups that are getting made, I now have to go to Castle and have Castle make those guys as powers, and then I have to go to Jay to have him make the costumes for those guys. And then all of that stuff has to come back. And if there's different stuff with the maps, like it is a lot. It's a decent amount of work to do. But I think for, depending on how the mission architect awards go tonight, and kind of what we see with other stuff going on, there might be a place for that. Because it would be silly not to kind of do it. And it's a great prize for people who actually really do manage to do it. But again, it's almost kind of like retconning existing stuff because, hey, here's this arc that I can play an architect, and now it's in the real world. So it's a challenge.
Alisara from Virtue. You'd mentioned the story Bible. I'm going to guess that when it was originally written, you had no idea where Lord Nemesis was going to wind up. Keeping that in mind, just how flexible is that Bible?
It's very flexible. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, it's words on the page. The most important thing we have to hold on to is what's in the game. That is priority number one. I can go back and read something that Rick wrote 7 years ago and go, okay, this is a great launching off point, and some of this stuff made its way in. But there's completely different places that we've gone through in the game. And, you know, Lord Nemesis is a good example that he didn't have an endpoint in the story Bible. He was just a supervillain in the area. And it was really with the advent of Ouroboros and seeing this whole idea of flashback, of going back to redo different things and wanting to create this idea of, like, why would someone want to go back in time? And it's because they want to actually fix something. And it was like, who would be the poster child for fixing everything that they did wrong? And it was like, well, obviously Lord Nemesis would be that guy.
Yeah, that and the villain groups are so vast and huge that even the stories that are written in the story Bible about them, you can imagine only covers maybe the core of them. There are outlying groups like, you know, the Freak Show. There's all sorts of satellite groups of them that, you know, want to destroy this, that, or the other and may not be part of the main story arc that's written in the story Bible for them.
Cool. So I've gotten the 5-minute warning, so we may have time for two questions. I'm not sure
Talk
about
quick.
The third.
I think we'll
ask quickly.
Okay, Defiant from the First Juice server. First of all, I have to say thank you for writing such great stories that we all get to participate in.
Thank you.
Thank you for reading
them. Thanks for playing them.
He reads them. It's
and two things. One, somebody already asked about the memorial for Hero One and all the rest of the heroes. But second, when are we going to get a chance to, you know, take the war back to the Ritke? I mean, when can we go to their homeworld and, you know, kind of find out what happened to all those heroes that went over there and just kind of settle that once and for all?
we actually looked into that for our box expansion to do that as opposed to Praetoria. But at the end of the day, the themes of going rogue fit much more in the world of Praetoria and coming through. So that was the choice. So,
but it is something we would like to do.
So
yeah, that could be a possibility in the future.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Talik from Triumph, and we've got a number of zones which don't really seem to have much happening in them. Boomtown comes to mind. When is more stuff going to be showing up there?
I've got plans for Boomtown, but again, that's sometime off in the nebulous future. But yeah, there are some of the zones where it would be great, even though it's retconning, but maybe going through and adding new content and shaking the story up a bit.
Nutra from the Justice server. When's the Ocho task force going to come out?
Did he ask you to say that?
No, not at all. No, but seriously. So the Moon Zone. Going along with the story with Jay and the Cimarora and all that, I actually wanted to ask. I know generally it's probably you guys designed something when Melissa builds it. The story and lore influence the structures and the way the whole world is laid out. Has it ever happened that when you guys are either doing a mission creation or designing the world, that actually goes back and influences the lore itself, that you go, oh man, I just actually by accident did this, and this would be really cool if this actually did happen as
daily.
Part of the story?
Daily. Yeah.
Okay. It, in a lot of ways, it's actually almost an out-of-control roller coaster that we have to constantly put the brakes on. Where can we actually, you know, get off of this roller coaster?
El Dorado, I'm a hero on Protector and a villain on Virtue, and that's kind of my question. I really love what you did with the Midnight Club, where depending on whether you're a hero or a villain, you play a different side of the mission. Now that Praetoria's come around, are there going to be more flippy-floppy, where if you're a villain, you get one half of it, if you're a hero, you get another half?
I don't know how much I can say about that.
Yes.
I don't think you have to worry about it.
Thank you, good night.